702.
The upside of failure.
Proof that a setback can lead to a step forward.
TikTok.
Find him.
Ngiyabuya. Yakuthembisa.
Go, go, go!
Running out of time.
No, no!
Either you talk or we make you talk. Your choice.
I need to find them.
How much time do you need?
Where's my son?
Ha. South Africa's favorite actor, I think I can say with confidence at the moment.
Wow.
Welcome, welcome, welcome for joining us. Thank you very much for coming in. What a dramatic intro for your latest.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you so much.
I was watching your face when you were listening back to yourself, and you would smile a bit and then you would frown a bit. And what were you thinking when you heard back on that?
Man, I'm like, well, firstly, I'm like, okay, that's how it sounds, just pure audio, which kind of carries the same intensity as the visuals, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, we really made a product.
And this is Dion Meyer's book being made into a film, and I know that he was involved initially, and then he had to go and often do something else. How hard or easy is it getting into a character that's contrived by somebody else?
True. I mean, often they are, right? Often there's a writer who, you know, you get a script and it's been written before and been worked generally for years before an actor arrives to play the role. But what I loved about Dion Meyer and his involvement in the project, that he wrote the script as well, the screenplay as well. So he was very much involved in the adaptation of it. And by virtue of him being so involved in the adaptation, he was very open to, you know, to creating kind of, because it's a different medium. So he was very open in, you know, moving it into a different medium, and whatever that took, whether it took away from the book or whether it, you know, it added to the film. He was very open to that process, and I kind of borrowed from that as well.
Because that's quite a pressure, isn't it? I mean, people love the book.
Yeah.
And then to see the movie, I mean, you've got to do it as well, if not better.
If not better. And, you know, to kind of have the author's approval in the adaptation process, you know, because often maybe a studio would come to you and say, we want to adapt your book. And then they pay you, and then they do whatever they got to do to...
That's right.
To change it into a different medium. But Dion Meyer was involved in doing that. So that kind of gave us all, dare I say, permission to explore the same freedom.
So I've obviously doing quite a bit of reading up about you. I've heard you, seen you, all of that kind of stuff. And I threw that out quite flippantly, that South Africa's favorite actor. But you certainly do command a great following amongst people. But what really stood out for me reading about you was just how much you express in your messages, WhatsApp or you know, social media messages, your love for your wife. And it's, you know, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And rare.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm whipped. I'm whipped. Yeah, my wife is really my best friend. She has walked this journey with me. We met in drama school 11 years ago. And we started dating shortly after we met. And we've never been apart since. And we've recently become parents to a beautiful eight-month-old daughter. Thank you. So, yeah.
Did it make you look at her any differently, your wife?
Absolutely. I mean, she went from being my girlfriend to my wife and then to being the mother of my child. So there's a growth that happens in the relationship and between us, whether it's the relationship itself growing or us growing as individuals within the relationship. But yeah, absolutely. Through time, we're learning different sides of ourselves through each other, which is such a beautiful
thing. And
journey.
It's not, I mean, you find somebody who's a soul sister, brother, and you can't just relax, can you? I mean, relationships morph into something else, and you got to keep working at it, right?
Yeah. No, you absolutely, you do. We do. But I think we understand each other in a very unique way. Mm. And we have kind of the same ideals about what it takes to build something. And yeah, I think our expectations of each other are quite, you know, quite chilled. We're like... Yeah.
And not too much pressure to perform for them.
We're literally, I would say we're literally the same, you know, kind of the same thing. We're both actors. We went to the same school at a point and then we kind of stayed together. So we're, yeah, almost kind of mirror images of each other. So our expectations of each other are quite similar. I would never expect something of her that I can't do. And I think vice versa, because we're like, we're almost the same, you know.
How do you deal with the attention that you get? And, I mean, you get, you know, fans who throw themselves at you, I'm sure. I mean, how do you and how does your wife deal with that kind of attention?
Shoot, I think life had humbled me before fame, you know. And I kind of had a mature, you know, dare I say mature kind of, point of view of life before I had become, you know, known. So I kind of, for me, it exists still within a professional framework. It still not feels like my job, but I know it's because of my job.
You respect it.
I respect it. And I know that most times people don't know the real me. Not that anything's wrong with the real me, but, you know, I try balance it. I try not let it get to my head. And I try be patient with people because I know it takes a lot for someone to walk up to someone and say, hey, I love your work. Can I take a photo of you? And in my head, it's like I have space on my phone for an image of you.
Yes.
You know? And I don't take that for granted. So
I mean, that's such a beautiful thing to hear because it does take courage for people to come up.
100%.
And the fact that they're giving you a compliment is just so beautiful, 100%. Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And we underestimate that kind of thing. And everyone wants to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, I hope other people don't do that. But when I started getting, you know, stopped on the street or in the malls, that's really what I saw it as. I was like, wow, you really stopped what you're doing, had the courage to walk up to me. I mean, it sometimes goes both ways, right? You find the ones that are like really excited and they're, you know.
And after a bit, you go, okay.
quite entitled to that photo. They feel entitled to that photo. Oh. And then you find people who would genuinely just want to tell you how you made them feel and how much they admire your work. And especially with people who are so specific to say, I love your work. I love what you do. And some go as far as thanking me. I'm like, wow. I've never seen acting as a self-serving exercise. I am aware that I act for an audience. I don't take for granted the time. You know, there's so much content out there. So for you to watch me,
that's right.
I don't take that for granted either. So, I'm like, thank you. Maybe it's the person I am, but it really forces me back to a point of gratitude. Really, like I'm always just so grateful of where I was, where I used to come from. You know, being a young kid who wanted to be an actor, and then someone stopping you in the middle. I mean, the furthest we've been was. There's two times. God's Window in Mpumalanga. And I was shooting the wife at the time and I thought, I'm in another province. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I mean, God's Window is kind of like a tourist attraction.
It's quite something though.
And I had a mask on. But the person saw me through the mask. And they're like, Mkhayele, is that you? I'm like, yeah. And and then it stunned me. And then once my wife and I were in Heathrow in London and... Yeah, someone in London was like, you're the guy from Showmax, you know. I was like, yes. Like, do you get Showmax? I was like, yes, we do.
and you're the man. Okay, so, I am talking to Bonga Khoza and I've got a lot to ask you, but I just want us to listen to this this thing that pays for our bills so we can get people like you on our show.
Let's do it.
And then I'm going to find out from you one of your biggest failures afterwards.
Join us.
Let's walk the talk.
This is 702.
Oh my word, Jane Dutton, I can't believe you have South Africa's favorite actor in your studio right now. I've just watched every single piece of acting that he's involved in. A Mind of a Hunter is absolutely amazing. But unfortunately, he's now, I think, on another platform that I cannot access. So yeah, Netflix, Showmax, Mzansi Magic, wherever he is, we follow him. Thank you so much.
Oh, what a beautiful message. I have to say, I'm jealous of myself.
Wow.
How do you feel when you hear something like that?
The first thing I go, did you guys pay them? Did you guys pay? It's humbling. It's really humbling. Because you got to remember, Jane, I was... acting is not... The acting industry is very tough to break into. And I had, I would say, one of the most shocking kind of breakouts.
Mm.
You know, I was virtually unknown, even though that's not true. But, I was virtually unknown and broke out with immense success.
Mm.
So I'm still kind of piecing things together and kind of dealing with not an imposter syndrome, but I wonder if you ever do kind of still count yourself worthy. And I try every day, but not because I feel like I deserve to be here, but because I'm becoming more and more aware of God's grace, you know, or you know, whatever God you believe in, you know.
But that is incredible, isn't it? I mean, you wonder when you will reach that point where you go, you know what? I'm successful. Yeah. I have done it. And what happens when you reach that point? Is it a dangerous point?
I wonder. And I don't feel that way.
Mm.
As much as everyone, you know, as much as the reception of the work is of what I do is great, I've always got more.
Mm.
I've always got more, and I'm like, well, wait, I'm not done. I've got something else.
What did you do that was just that really backfired? And I mean, I know that, you know, there was a point where you were living with depression, you were dealing drugs from the back of your car. I mean, that was a bit of a bleak time.
Yeah, I think so. Acting for me was a resolve of I think a lot of things that I was dealing with, trying to be. So, like, I leave high school, and I choose to go become like a designer, you know, and I sign up to a school in Randburg, like a design school. And then it doesn't work out, and then I do like a short course in Braamfontein, and then the very next year I go to a university, and then I flunk, you know. And then I remember my parents kind of asking me, like, dude, what's your story? Like, what do you want to, like, you know what I mean? Like, we're tired of paying for you, you know, to kind of pop in and out of institutions. And I call myself a dropout graduate, because I've dropped out 3 times. And if you put it together, I should get a degree for that, right? Or something, you know? But I think I struggled a lot as an artist to find my place in the world. And once you someone who doesn't know their place in the world, I think the world automatically places you somewhere.
Mm.
And I found myself in certain spaces, you know, particularly the music scene. I was a rapper back in the day, for drum and bass DJs, part of the drum and bass scene, which is, if people at home don't know, you know, drum and bass is kind of this rave music, you know. So it was kind of the rave scene.
Lots of drums and lots of bass.
Lots of drums and lots of bass and lots of drugs. So, I mean, by virtue of just being in that space, you get caught up in a bunch of stuff. And I remember I was living in Yeovil in the Ponte on the 51st floor. And I got so depressed, and I'd often stare out that window, you know, and Sibs, who was the director of Necktie Youth, he called me and was like, "I'm gonna come shoot this film. It's about friends in Joburg, and you know, you're gonna have this role, you know." And initially, the short film was just like little tableaus of kids in Joburg, and you know, I was in the scene basically of the film. And he won at Berlinale, which is a film festival in Germany. And I think he called me like a year later. And he's like, "Dude, I got the money. We're doing the real film, but we've changed the story and you're the lead." I'm like, okay. And I'm pretty much...
clean up?
No, I'm still pretty much in the space, right? I'm still kind of driving my Beetle, selling weed and like, you know, living in West Dean or living in Pontia. Like, even right now, I'm like, it escapes me what the hell was going on in my life at that time. But I was an actor. I was trained. I had finished school. And I remember the callback. I think I came back from a party or something. And I drove to, like, the producer's house in Parktown North. And I think I was supposed to be there at 4 o'clock. And I got there, like, 2:30. But I passed out. And he comes knocking on my window like, "Dude, it's 5:30. We thought you weren't coming." So I had passed out since, and they're like, "No, come. You just got to do this one tape, you know, like they just want to see you." And I did, you know, the tape. They taped me. And then I remember him and I walking out, and we walked to the park to go like smoke a joint or whatever. And he was like, and I was telling him, I was like, "Dude, if this doesn't work out for me, like, it's not looking good, dude." You know? And crazy enough, same with him. He was like, "No, like, if this doesn't work out for me," you know? And I think Sibs and I had a great friendship back then, because we really connected at a rock bottom type of level. And that's why I say acting kind of found me and saved me. So we shoot the film, get paid like 10,000 rand, right? We shoot the film. A year later, I get a message that you've been nominated best actor in Tribeca, New York.
Gosh, a complete extreme, isn't it?
Right. I'm still pretty much...
Same place.
Yeah, same place. So I'm like, cool. I don't have money. Like, nah, these things, they pay for you. Don't worry. Go. I'm in New York. I'm like, wow, is that Robert De Niro? Is that active scene on that show? Yeah. And you're kind of in the midst of this stuff. And then I think that's really where the penny dropped for me, to be like, there's something here. And not because, oh, you can make you can be around all these people, or, you know, it's so nice, but it's almost like this thing literally took you out of like a toxic space and put you amongst really cool and nice people.
And showed you what is there, what's attainable, what you could be.
What you could be.
How lucky were you, right, to have been afforded that opportunity?
I count myself lucky.
But skill must have played a role there too.
I hope so. We didn't win, but I mean, I won in the bigger picture. The award was one thing, but I mean, like, I got what I needed in New York at that time.
It sounds like a life win to me. We're going to just get the news headlines, and then we got Maps on the line, who wants to talk to you, and some voice notes too.
702. The Newsmaker of the Day with John Perlman.
And John's in the studio. He's going to tell us what's coming up, John.
Yes, very good afternoon, Jane. Good afternoon, everyone. So a couple of things. The man who designed the Golf GTI died, a German engineer working for Volkswagen, obviously. We're going to talk about this vehicle. It's really quite an iconic part of the South African landscape.
My first car.
Okay, yeah. There we go. That's coming up at about 10 minutes to 4. Facebook, the company, holding company Meta, obviously, has said that they will act decisively and effectively if there's misinformation on platforms like Facebook. How will they do it, though? That, for me, is intriguing. We'll talk about that with someone from Meta after 4 o'clock. Randall Abrams joins us for Randall's One Song. David Tlale joins us for our Friday feature. This ahead of SA Fashion Week. David Tlale joins me for a song, a book, and a dish at 20 minutes to 6. And then an initiative in Gauteng, stirring up quite a lot of debate. Showers, mobile showers provided for homeless people. Mm. We'll talk to people who actually work with the homeless and ask them, where might this fit in some kind of broader strategy to ameliorate the way people feel about the state of their lives, people who are homeless and really going through a very, very difficult time. All that and a few more things between 3 and 6.
Thank you, John.
702.
The upside of failure.
Proof that a setback can lead to a step forward.
Good to have you with us. Bonga Khoza's in the studio with me, and Maps has been waiting on the phone for a while. Maps, sorry for the wait. Go ahead.
How are you, ma'am?
Very good, and you?
Good, good. Mr. Khoza, how are you?
I'm good, and you, sir?
Mr. Khoza, I heard you said acting saved you.
Yes, sir.
But there's actually one scene that you did on the wife. You and Mkhale and one of his brothers were fighting at home. And then this other guy, I think it was Mpendula, I don't remember his name, he pointed a gun at you. And then he said, hey, wena, shaya.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Guess what? Exactly on the 3rd of December 2022, I had somebody trying to hijack me.
Oh,
and they had a real gun pointed at me, like a 9mm. And your acting. Hello?
Sorry, Maps, it's not a great line.
So what happened, Maps?
So this guy was trying to hijack me, and he pointed a real gun at me. Then I just walked out of the car, and I went to him, and I said, you wanna shaya? And he became scared. He ran away from the scene. So your actual scene helped me, man. It gave me courage. I just went straight to that gun. I looked at I told the guy, "Hey, wena shaya," and he ran away. But thank you for that scene. And you're an awesome customer, man.
Thank
and
you.
I'm crazy about you, bro.
Thank you so much, Mr. Maps. Thank you so much, man.
Okay, thank you for that, Maps. Walter, you've also been standing by. Tell us what you're thinking, Walter.
Hey, Jay.
Go ahead.
Hey, hello, Bonga.
How's it, my brother? How are you?
I'm good. I love your work, man. I love your work. I called the producer, you know, I mean, mine was just to find out who's this guy, I mean.
Yeah.
As they said, this is Bonga. Who's Bonga? And I realized she told me, I mean, you did some work with the wife, and the one last chick I watched, the one with Kony and the other guys.
Heart of the Hunter.
I love your work, man.
Thank you so
much. But then mine is more on the life in general. I mean, I'm Berkeley, man. I'm basically down, you know.
Yeah.
And my surrounding too, friends, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone is just going through life, you know.
Yeah.
I can't say shit. Sorry.
Yeah,
with Berkeley, man. I mean, you said you were down. I just want to know, how did you pull yourself, man? Because, I mean, I could hear from your voice that you were down. You were down.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just want to know, man, we Berkeley, man. 42, 50s with Berkeley, all of us, man.
What was your trick to pulling yourself out? I mean, you obviously had that lucky moment, that talented moment. But what, when you feel down, what do you do?
I pray. I really do. I pray. You know, that's why I say I am lucky. I'm fortunate to have amazing parents. like my mom and my dad are, in my world, two of the most amazing people in the world. But that's not to say, you know, what advice, you know.
So can you draw on them? Can you?
I do, absolutely. My dad is probably the most humble, smartest, selfless people I've ever met. And, you know, my mom is the kindest, sweetest, selfless person. And they're just so compatible.
Mm.
And I always say my mom reminds me of who I am and my dad reminds me who I want to be.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Like,
and it's good to have that constant reminder, right? You look at them and go, okay, this works.
Yeah, I'm blessed. But I mean, I just want to answer the gentleman.
Mm.
I feel like sometimes we, you know, struggling is so, it's so disabling, right? And I feel maybe because I am an artist, I made the pain the art. And maybe my answer is make art.
Yeah.
Try make some art and see how you feel.
So like, you transfer that pain into the work that you do.
Like, I can't escape who I am. I mean, my parents are listening right now.
Mm.
So I get to a crossroad where I'm like, am I going to be fully myself with all my flaws? Or am I going to choose to be selective of who I am and be schizophrenic? And then and look at me, like I'm on the radio. This is one of the biggest stations in the country, in the world. So am I going to hide a part of myself?
Mm.
Or am I going to be myself completely? If I choose the latter, I'm going to have to be honest with myself and with everyone else. But
is there something you hide from yourself that you feel that you should get out, that you'd be better for it?
Not anymore. Especially after what we just spoke about.
Mm.
Not anymore. At that time, yeah, it was. But I think God gave me the gift and the curse. It was two sides of a coin. I wouldn't be here if I didn't go through that. And I can't be here without that being public.
Yeah.
But for me, it's a relief.
Mm.
Because I'm like, well, that's me. You know?
Is it also, do you sometimes look back and think this is a reminder of where you could be if you let things go? I mean, I should imagine your mom and dad, I just want to commend them. I mean, you can tell that you're genuine, right? You can feel it.
Right.
So they've done a good job. But do you think those sort of reminders are important that you think, well, it's a quick journey back?
Yeah. Look, I don't know about back because, you know, like things can change.
Mm.
And it's also the irony of like having to embrace change that makes it that much more fun, you know, because I understand that everything is fleeting.
Mm.
We won't be here forever. This might not last forever. So when you're in that position, you're like, what do I do? Mm. Let me just be grateful.
Yeah.
Let me just make the most of everything. Let me be honest with everyone. You know, any moment could be the last moment. So I'm like, am I going to end it all with secrets in my heart or with resentment in my heart? Or will I, you know, if my time comes, everyone will know who he was in his old completeness, right? So that's what I chose to do. And I chose to use my pain in my work to let it out.
Mm.
And it goes even further where you get on the radio and Jane brings it up and I'm never to a point where like, now I'm getting nervous. I'm like, oh, Jane, why are you asking?
Mm.
I'm just like, yeah, let it out. But
isn't it lovely when you've got nothing to hide?
I think so. It feels good. And I hope, like, just like the gentleman who was on the on the phone, I can be of some, like my honesty can be of some service. Mm. But I also understand that my honesty is functional. I do have kind of a function with honesty. Like my job is to be honest. Not to say I'd ever be a dishonest person, but like I really have to be in that space. Otherwise, I don't think people would connect with the work, with my work as much as they do.
It's amazing what people can see on a screen, right? And yeah. We're just going to take a little spot break now. And then, Phil, we're going to speak to you.
702.
The upside of failure.
Proof that a setback can lead to a step forward.
Hi, Jane. Hi, Bonko. Oh, Jane, what a talent you have there. What a talent you have there. He is phenomenal. I just watched The Red Ink on Showmax, and it was out of this world. How he managed to switch roles from one role to another. It was amazing to watch. Bonko, I just want to say to you, keep up the good work. We love you and thank you for gracing our screens with such talent. You know what? You are amazing. And thank you. Millie here from Roodepoort.
So speaking to Bonko Khoza, and you are a serial killer in that.
Yeah. Yay.
Did you hold on to any of those elements that you learned, any of those personality?
The serial killer traits? No, I didn't. I do a lot of prep, so I try that by the time we're shooting, you know, it can really be specific and spare myself of. So what I do, I take on the traits before we shoot so that when we're shooting, I know where to kind of place them. But no. I could go home. I mean, my daughter was born a month before. No. My daughter was born when I got confirmed. On the day, crazy, right? Mm. On the day I was born, on the day my daughter was born at the hospital, yes. I got the call that... You're going to be a serial killer. I'm like, okay.
And looking at something of such innocence and beauty, right? And man. The monster on the other side. Let's bring in Phil. He's been holding on. Hi, Phil.
Hi, this is Jane. And thanks to your learned friend there. You know, his story is but an inspiration to others. You know, the one thing that I've learned is that the key to success is failure. As long as you learn from that particular failure so that your life can become a learning laboratory to others in future. That in life you fall seven times, but like the old Chinese saying, you fall seven times, but you stand up eight. Mm. Unfortunately, when we were raised up as young children, our parents only exposed us to opportunities of success and never exposed us to opportunities of failure. Yet, when we reached the adult life, we were raised completely out of kilter of what the adult life require, where there's success, where there's failure, where there's everything. So I think what having opened up and taught us and taught the future generation that in life you need to set realistic and achievable goals. But when you can't achieve them, don't be demotivated. Stand up and be ready to learn out of your mistakes so that you can go through the life until such time that you experience what is called the serendipity in your life. Yeah. Through prayer, through everything, you'll meet your Jesus loves me moment. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Phil.
What do you think?
Yeah, he is. I wonder if he meant to say serenity.
Right.
I mean, I understand serendipity, yeah, but I think he was trying to say serenity. Phil, I don't know. You can let me know. But there's a serenity prayer that says, grant me the wisdom to understand what I...
it's
coming to me. But it's such a beautiful prayer.
It the 12 step. I think that's what the 12 steps and all of that is based around.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Grant the
courage to change the things you can.
The confidence or the...
Yeah.
Anyway.
But you know what I mean?
Yes, that one.
But and the wisdom to know the difference, yes. Right? You guys can Google it. It's the Serenity Prayer. But like, I love it because it's like really three traits that you're really asking God for. The courage to change the things you can. And the thing is the wisdom to accept the things you can't change.
And to know the difference.
And then to know the difference. Mm. And you're like, ah, that really simplifies life, right? Mm. So serenity, peace, content.
Yeah.
And as I said earlier, like life humbled me way before,
yes.
Fame or whatever. So it's...
Okay, here we go. Yeah. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. So it's what's the first one?
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
The serenity to accept the things you cannot change, mm. which is inevitable, right?
Yeah.
Like
yes, and why bang your head against something that's yeah. not going to change?
You can't change.
Like when you're stuck
it.
In traffic as well, yeah. isn't it? You go, well, I
right.
can scream and shout or just
yeah.
chill.
And then the courage mm-hmm. to actually do something when you're capable, to not be held back by your own fears, your anxieties, or whatever. But also just the wisdom to know, can I change this?
Mm.
Can I change that? And you know, for me, I think, crazy enough, they both speak to me as a person.
Mm.
There are things that I can't change about myself, but there are things that I certainly can.
Yes.
You know.
And it's important to keep working on ourselves, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Do you think you have to be in a position to be able to see those problems? Do you think it has to come from somebody else? Does somebody go, listen, that's not really working for me at the moment?
I think a good support, a good supportive environment is great. Mm. Yeah, that's why you know, I love my wife. My wife is my support and she's kind of my mirror.
I love how you love your wife. I wanted to ask you, I mean, you're a SAFTA award-winning.
Yeah.
You've just been super successful. And then you did this Headspace, which is a locally produced animated film. But we don't see you. It's all your voice.
Yeah.
Was that a completely different vibe? Because it's just, you have to paint a picture of this character through just your voice.
Yeah. It was fun. It was fun. I treated it like a normal role.
Mm.
More theater than screen.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of a little theatrical, quite big. Big in the sense of like, yeah, it's quite theatrical. So, yeah, that was really fun. And it was, you know, when I left the wife after season two, I went on a hiatus.
Mm.
And part of that hiatus was like really exploring my other stuff, which is my voice. Now I have... I'm a voiceover artist. I'm waiting for Peter to play my radio ad. I don't know which. When I walked in, I was like, "Where's my spot?
Come on, it's me.
Come on, it's me." Some might know or not know. Like, yeah, I do voiceovers as well. And by God's grace, I was, you know, I had enough voiceover work to kind of chill out from acting for a bit. And yeah, I did a Disney show as well, Kia and the Komodo Heroes. So animation last year was quite fun.
Mm.
A little different. I think it helped me also get out of like a space that I was in during that time. You know, Mkhele was kind of a crazy character. So it was like very light, fun for the kids, you know. No makeup, keep it playful, and you know, so that was fun.
Before you came in, there's a big picture of you. You probably noticed as you walked in. And we were just saying what makes you so... wonderful to watch is that you really believe, and I know that obviously, you know, as an actor, you've got to become that person.
Yeah.
But you really get into it. I mean, you morph so beautifully into that role.
Thank you.
How do you get there? I mean, what is the trick?
I think it's my history of, I think my imagination has been trained outside of acting, so that when it finally does acting. I really draw from those things. I started out as an artist. You know, I went to the National School of Arts. I was a painter.
Mm.
You know, we used to draw and paint. And then when I matriculated, that was kind of, I was a visual guy. So when I finally got into acting, I mean, in parallel, I was kind of like the class clown and like, you know, I know the Lion King word for word type of kid.
As you said, you're a Leo. You like to be.
Yeah.
Watched.
We like the attention. So I think if I can try quantify my acting, Yeah, it's just a strong imagination.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, kids, if a kid says he's the doctor and she's the mother, and you watch kids playing, you know, house, or, you know, back in when we were young, we called it ukudlalisa, you know, then I'm the dad, then there's a sister, then there's, you know, we're a family or whatever. Mm. And you can't convince them otherwise.
No.
You can't. And if a kid's got a plane in their hand or a toy in their... I mean, also, we used to have... We grew up, not poor, but like, we grew up... I was born in Soweto, and I remember playing with a brick.
Mm.
But to me, it was a car. And yeah. I would drive it around, you know, drive
Isn't
it around.
Beautiful, that yeah. creativity. And you'll see it with your kid. That yeah. imagination is the just
imagination.
Like, oh. Yeah, and how we stamp it out, actually, instead of letting it flourish.
I hope I don't do that to her, because... That's what made Daddy. That's what put Daddy on 702.
We'll remind you of that.
Yeah.
Do you have a final closing thought of failure and what it means in one's bigger life, whether it's your career or your happiness?
I think for me, failure, if you really look at my DNA of my career, there's more failures than wins. I mean, there's currently one big win. So... If I were ever to recommend a remedy, is to just keep failing. It sounds very contradictory, but keep failing, because when you keep failing, it means you keep trying.
Mm.
You know,
you're not being complacent.
You only need to win once. You only need to win once. I mean, people don't know that I audition 9 times and only get one. So you only need one, the wife. You don't need to have them all. You just need one The Wife, one Red Ink, one Heart of the Hunter to really make a difference. So,
well, thank you for
keep
coming.
Keep failing forward.
Keep failing. And we love your failures and we love your successes.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you, Jane.